Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. What a win for BYU. Cougars get it done. The streak is over at 9.
I like how you said, what a win for BYU, because they went and won that thing.
Yeah.
They took it.
Nope. Nothing flukish about what BYU did.
You know, there are always some obvious signs about where a team's mindset is in the first offensive drive of a game. And we've seen in the past, we've seen BYU in the past in the opening drive have two or three things, even when Roderick was responsible for calling or when Grimes was responsible or in the past when we've seen different coordinators. And, you know, you could go to University of Utah for these opening drives. Sometimes you'll see something out of the gates. You'll see something like soft pass or touch pass or rollout, something to try to get a quarterback going. Sometimes you'll see some type of gadget, especially in a big game. You'll see an end around or a reverse, and it's like, we can't just beat them in this trench. We can't. So we're going to loosen things up. We're going to throw different areas, and we're going to try to really loosen things up. And Kalani Sitake and Aaron Roderick in the first couple of offensive drives kind of established what they were looking at, what was important to them, how they wanted to try to go through this game. And at no point did they indicate that they were going to try to use finesse,
yeah,
that they were going to try to use deception, that they were going to try to use games or gadgetry. They just said, we've got a good offensive base plan. We feel good about who our team is. And we're going to let our offensive line win the battles.
Yeah.
Which indicates to you and me and everybody out there, it indicates 100% that this coaching staff evaluated their offensive line and Utah's defensive line and said, we're better. Our unit is better. And we are absolutely going to just come out and we're going to run our game.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's just how it's going to go. And they did. And it worked.
Kyle Whittingham attributed the issues on the offensive line to missed assignments. Said, we had blown assignments. That's where our issues were on the offensive line. On the defensive line, they just kicked our butts. They were just more physical.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he just – well, you'll hear the entire comments coming up at 1 o'clock, but some of the comments coming out of the press conference today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear that. I can't wait to get to that because I was interested in Kyle's take because what it looked like to me this morning,
yeah,
when I was watching back, it just looked like BYU was like, so this is what we're going to do. We think we're better than you.
Yeah.
And we're gonna zone some areas in blocking schemes. We're going to zone some areas, but we're also going to man some areas. They did have some group protections. They, in fact, the one that I just showed you, where Van Fillinger gave up contain, BYU on a third and I think it was third and 9 or third and 11 left 7 in the block right there. So they had 7 guys and Utah brought 6. And BYU with their 7 guys put a hat across the board and Jaren Hall ends up breaking contain off the left edge and gets the first down. So BYU did multiple times. They said, all right, well, okay, well, you know, we got an important pass play. It's 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10. Let's give Jaren Hall a little extra protection. We'll run some routes out, see if we can run some corners off. Jaren was smart with his legs. He showed me another level of athleticism that he's got.
Yeah, he's let's just say he's back off that injury. He's doing all right.
Yeah, and he's doing very well. But don't go back on some type of injury. Don't put your head in there. Be smart.
I don't remember him taking any big hits, too. I mean, every time he ran the ball, it looked like he was able to.
He was always by the sideline.
He's always working that sideline, able to sneak out.
He was always by that sideline. So I think BYU's got a good quarterback situation on their hand as long as he made some really smart decisions, too. He was pretty calculated. He didn't want to put that ball in risk. He's seen quarterback after quarterback at BYU open up with a couple of turnovers, and he wasn't about to do that.
And I think that was also probably Aaron Roderick saying, look, because they, you know, there were opportunities early on. And that's where I really felt like I felt like when the game went in the second quarter, I'm like, oh, Utah's going to win this game. Because Utah just served up a couple of turnovers on a silver platter. And BYU went three and out after the first one, kicked a field goal, I believe, on the second one.
Correct.
And it's just like,
it was the first points of the game.
You had two turnovers, and you only came away with 3 points. You were inside the 50 twice. You only have 3 points to show for it. That was your opportunity. The football gods gave you a blessing. Mm-hmm. You didn't do anything with it. Now Utah's going to put the clamps down. And it just never happened.
Yeah, even when the first half came to a close, coming out in the second half, I was still thinking,
yeah,
Kyle's going to work his magic. He's going to rattle their cages. Utah's going to come out in the second half motivated, irritated, throwing punches. And they just didn't.
I mean, let's get to the play of the game. And you and I and Lloyd, we broke this down a lot on the Morning After podcast, which, by the way, is still available for you on any podcasting platform. Just search Hands of Scotty or the Zone Sports Network. Every Sunday morning, we get together and we break down the weekend's games and talk about them. But the play of the game, in my opinion, was Utah is about ready to go score a touchdown, go up 14-10, most likely take that lead into halftime. Instead, BYU bows up. They get the fourth down stop. Mows right down the field. Scores a touchdown. I know they don't get the extra point. But instead of Utah being up 14-10 at halftime, they're down 16-7. And it just feels like, oh, this is different. This has a different feel to it now.
It did. It felt different. And there was actually something to the person that scored that touchdown, too. That's Samson Nakua. I didn't expect to see a lot out of Samson in this game.
Yeah,
I thought maybe we'd see some out of Puka. I really thought there'd be a heavy focus on tight ends because I thought that Gunnar Romney and Neil Pau were just too banged up to really give you everything that they've got, which they showed their toughness in this game. They came out and they still put a lot of yards out there. But this ball in particular went to Samson Nakua on a rollout by Jaron. And the reason I say there's something different to that, Samson ends up, and you shouldn't do this, pulled off the helmet and pumped
up. He and Puka both did.
Yeah, pumped up the fan base. You know, they wanted everybody to see those faces and they wanted everybody to see the name and they wanted to get that fan base going, and it did. That Samson Nakua touchdown ignited that fan base. Every big play ignited the fan base. But that in particular, it just felt like statement. And those Nakua boys, they've got a lot of belief in themselves. They know that they're good football players, especially Puka. And that was a big moment, a big energy grab to go 16-7.
Although, didn't you think, like, oh, this is going to be a final 17-16?
Yes.
Because, you know, the penalty backs them up. They missed the extra point because of it. It's just like, oh, boy, if that extra point comes back to bite them, that's going to be awful for BYU.
In fact, so they come out, and Utah, in the second half, Utah missed a field goal. And then Gunnar Romney gets that touchdown. That's the call that Lloyd just played coming into the segment. BYU goes up 23-7 at that point. But this is where it started to make you wonder how much that point was worth. Utah goes down, hits a field goal, gets it 23-10. And then you had that Makai Bernard touchdown that made it 23-17. And you started to look at it thinking, 23-17?
Yep.
You're telling me that this is a one-point game outside of a touchdown? That was the moment I was like, ooh,
I know.
Samson, you could be in a little bit of trouble. You could be in a little bit of trouble if you cost them that extra point. Well, it ended up not really mattering because of the final drive that you talked to James Impey about.
But I want to get your thoughts, though, as you played college on the D-line, but then switched to the O-line and the offensive line. I mean, in the NFL. There isn't anything I got to imagine that just brings you more joy than when you go on a long, because that was like, what, a 6-7 minute drive, too. On that long, time-consuming drive, there's only a couple minutes left, and you get to the point where Oldroy just chips in essentially from the length of an extra point, field goal, puts you up 9, and the game's over at that point.
Yeah. That's a big drive, and it was a dominant drive. I actually haven't been able to review that drive yet. I'm going to review that tomorrow.
But it was a big boy drive for sure.
Huge drive. I can tell you that the other drive you've referenced, the drive after that huge stop on fourth down,
yeah,
that was just extremely special play by Jaren Hall. It was really nice performance up front, but that was some beautiful decision-making by Jaren Hall.
Because I'm guarantee Kyle Whittingham's thinking at that point, you know what, look, we don't get the first down or we don't get the touchdown, fine. They're backed up. We'll get a three and out, get the ball back. You know, we'll still have a minute. I think Utah still had their timeouts. We can still go down and get points before halftime. We get the ball to start the second half. We're going to be all right. They don't get the first down, and then BYU just obliterates that Utah defense going down and getting that touchdown.
Yeah, rock and rolls right down the field. I know that there have been a couple of plays that have been highlighted in that. That third down conversion that I showed you, Scotty, that seven-man protection, that was in there. You saw one play that's backed up. BYU's still back in there near their own end zone, and Clark Barrington pulled out to the right side, and he ended up getting a chip block on a blitzing. I believe it was a blitzing outside backer or a defensive end that was coming free. He just chipped him enough that Jaren stepped back into the pocket and delivered an insane strike to Dallin Hoker. You know the play I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
So there were multiple plays in that drive that had guys, you know, hitting their reads, hitting their mark, getting their blocks, and then it was just Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall making really good decisions, making guys pay. But that was a huge drive right before the half after that fourth down stop. The momentum, you could feel it in that game. They had totally grabbed it. Utah fought back into it. Remember, they made this a six-point game.
Yeah. And then you're like, all right, defense.
In the fourth quarter.
Get off the field. Help us out. Yeah. And they couldn't do it.
They couldn't get it, do it. And then, like you mentioned, the field goal puts it 26-17, and it was all over. There was one other observation I had of BYU's offense that I wanted to mention, and this comes down to Aaron Roderick and the game plan going into this. Did you notice the tempo changes?
Oh, yeah.
In offense?
Yeah.
So those tempo changes, if you watch Patrick Mahomes or you watch Andy Reid's offense with the Chiefs, if you're watching their tempo is, it changes a lot, and a lot of it's dictated by what the score is, where they are on the field, what the down and distance is, and tempo changes. When tempo changes a defensive lineman, I can't try to jump your count. I'm just trying to figure out where I'm supposed to be and if I need to be there right now or if I've got a minute in a huddle. And you've got a linebacker that's basically the quarterback of the defense, and he doesn't know if he's trying to call a huddle or if he goes into no huddle. And then you've got a coordinator saying, hey, we got to just scrap the huddle. So you're just going to have to keep these guys at the line and be ready. I'll put the calls in from the sideline. Well, we didn't practice no huddle. We were practicing huddle, and now we don't have a chance to do that. Now I'm trying to relay calls to a defensive line. Some are getting it. Some aren't getting the call. By the time they're starting to understand what the call is, the offensive line's at the line of scrimmage. The ball's being snapped. I'm getting punched in the face, and now I'm mad at my linebacker because he didn't get the call in my ear. I can't see the defensive line coach trying to get calls in from a sideline. And then all of a sudden you're like, you got all this energy and hurry, and then you're just standing there at the line of scrimmage while BYU is taking their time burning clock. Yeah. And now you're like, well, do we huddle? Well, yeah, guys, I guess we should. Let's huddle. And how are we all doing? You got the call? Yeah, I got the – it's just weird. It puts a strain on a defense. I've played against offenses that had tempo changes.
Yeah.
I hated it. And this is different than having it be – well, it's four-minute drill at the end of a game.
Yeah.
Four-minute drill, you know that they're just trying to chew clock. So you know they're taking their time, and they're not going to all of a sudden run to the line and snap it on you. Or a two-minute drill when you know they're trying to score and you know it's you've got to be at the line. It's way different. Way, way, way different when it's unpredictable tempos like Roderick had in this game. I hate playing against that.
Yeah.
And it's a great tool, and Roderick's really good at it.
And you got to have an offense that's dialed in on it too, though. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you got to have Jaron running the ship. These guys got to know how to do it. A lot of teams, sometimes they'll get a first down, and then they'll go tempo after a third down conversion. I mean, it's pretty impressive to watch from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. All right, we're live here at Tri-Day Trading. Derek's hanging out with us as we continue to get you an opportunity to help supplement that income, maybe even replace that income. How you doing, man?
Hey, Derek.
Doing very well. How are you guys?
It's good to see you again, man.
Good to see you.
Life good?
Life's been great.
Good.
You've seen a few success stories down here with people really changing their lives with this.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about what happens in that 30 days. You go to tridaytrading.com. You sign up for that free webinar. You're like, you know what? I want to check this out. $10. What are those next 30 days like for you?
So the first thing they do is they get all the charts onto your computer and basically have you go through some videos to understand them. The real important part about the trial is they pair you to work with somebody one-on-one that actually breaks down what you're looking at so you have a better idea of what's going on.
Well, I also want to mention that the personalized coaching here at Tri-Day Trading is unique. It's here at the point of the mountain. It's just off the exit, the Thanksgiving Point exit, very easy to find. And you can come down and get personalized coaching. You guys are so open to helping people in the coaching. I kind of want to just emphasize the importance of having an actual person that answers your phone calls, that answers your questions. And really, when I was going through the process of training, it was at all times of the day, Derek.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have guys here early in the morning, late at night. We wanted to do it a way that anybody could try it out and at least see what we have to offer, see if they like it, see if it's something they can put in their arsenal of skill sets.
When you get that opportunity to work with those coaches, and I've been through the coaching process as well, there's some things you're like, okay, I got that, we can move on. And there's sometimes I'm like, hey, we need to circle back. I'm kind of lost on this. It's personalized training specifically for you and your coach and how you're able to pick things up. And that's what I really like about this, because you're not in a classroom with 40 other people. It's one-on-one. You really learn how to do this.
Oh, absolutely. And you might have a question that somebody in a classroom has, and if you don't have that one-on-one to go, hey, I didn't understand that, I need to go back and spend some time with that, then you miss out and you truly don't understand what it is that you're doing.
Well, get to Tri-Day Trading right now. Take that webinar. Sign up. It's only $10. That $10 goes to charity as well. So you can find out if this is right for you. And then at the end of 30 days, if you want to proceed, then go for it.
That's where you and I started.
Yep.
Was with the trial.
Yep.
And that's where Lemma started. That's where all of us started, was just with the trial. And you get a feel for it really quick.
It's all available for you at Tri-Day Trading. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show.
The Big Show.
With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
For The Athletic, he's Bruce Feldman. Let's start with BYU to the Big 12.
It's good on all fronts, I think, for BYU. I saw this point made earlier today, and I can't disagree with it, that it might be the best basketball conference now in the country. And that is a good side perk. This was a great outcome for the Big 12, considering what happened less than 2 months ago with the news of Texas and OU leaving. So now you have four pretty defined brands, in BYU's case, one that is very defined. You have a big following, a big fan base, a program that is coming off a lot of success, that has some visibility. I think that's a big plus for Bob Bowles being the Big 12 to bring in.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
Now, here's the good.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Time for your good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all brought to you by our good friends at Zero Res. Get those carpets cleaned right now. It is your chance to get... you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. So sometimes I wonder about our producer.
801-288-9376. Call Zero Res right now.
You never know with that guy.
He's all right. He can be okay.
He's a little dismayed right now.
He's got some issues.
And I'm also having to double-check myself to be good throughout this segment.
Yes. Yeah. We do not have the dump button available to us right now.
For just a minute.
Yeah.
So control your language.
So we got to be careful here. No Fox Hollow references here.
So tell me about Utah State.
That was an interesting game, for sure. Started with, about an hour and a half rain delay. or not rain delay, lightning delay. Nobody cares about the rain. It's lightning gets you into problems.
This is pre-kickoff.
Pre-kickoff. Mm-hmm. We're, in fact, you know, the countdown clock is about 10 minutes away, and all of a sudden we see lightning, and everybody's like, whoop, hold it up. And so what was supposed to kick off at 7 o'clock got pushed to 8:25. And then at about 8:10, we're real close. It was about 3 or 4 minutes away from kicking off. And all of a sudden, the lights went out in the stadium. Stadium went dark. And I'm thinking, and immediately the student section fires up their cell phone flashlights, and it's just awesome. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a really cool, like, pregame thing they're doing here. They're going all out. This is awesome. Well, it wasn't awesome. There was a power outage. It wasn't on purpose. So once the power got back on, then those lights take a while to heat back up and get doing their thing. So that was another 15 to 20 minutes. So then, finally, this game kicks off. And I am telling you, North Dakota FCS team. Now, they're a top 10 FCS team.
They're good.
They were a quarterfinal team in the playoffs. That's a good team. It was like watching 7-on-7. Like, no resistance whatsoever defensively. They were mowing up and down the field, and it was, at the end of one, it was 21-7 North Dakota. And I'm thinking, what I was thinking is like, oh, this is going to be like South Dakota State and Colorado State, where Colorado State just got ran off the field. I'm thinking, this team's going to lose, and they're going to lose badly to a North Dakota team. And then just like that, it switched. And North Dakota, I think they had 200 yards of total offense in the first quarter. And I think they had 130 the rest of the game.
The whole rest of the three quarters?
Yeah, and they only added three more points, and that was on a short field after an interception. Utah State ends up winning 48-24. That offense really starts clicking. The defense put the clamps down, and order was restored really quickly.
Do you have coaches show tomorrow?
I do, and Blake Anderson will be on with us tomorrow too.
Okay, I want to hear Blake's thoughts on what North Dakota was doing offensively to go through that defense like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah.
I want to know. Did they catch him off guard? Did he have a couple of guys?
A lot through the air, too. Big third down conversions. They ran a couple trick plays. They scored a touchdown on a reverse pass. And then they got another, a running back on a pitch, threw down. They got a big pass interference call to put it down inside the 5-yard line. A lot of stuff like that. But all three touchdowns through the air.
Well, that's not okay. And I'm just curious, from Coach Anderson's point of view, I'm curious, is this going to be an issue, or was this an oversight? And what was the adjustment that made the difference? Was it chewing out a couple of defenders? Was it the defensive coordinator in the booth saying, oh, okay, they want to do this? Well, we got to make sure that we're keeping too high, or whatever the adjustment. I would love to hear from Blake what it was.
Yeah. You get a chance to ask him tomorrow
okay. On
the show. Hands of Scotty, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
So, Scotty, I think that the commission that extended the opportunity to Evander Holyfield to fight should have their ability to extend that stuff revoked. Because there's no way Evander Holyfield at the age of 58 should have been in a ring with Vitor Belfort, who is a well-known knockout artist and much younger than Evander Holyfield. I don't have you seen it? You can watch this thing on YouTube.
I have not watched it yet.
It's all of about 48 seconds.
Ugh.
Maybe a minute 20. I don't know. It's over in the first round, I think probably within a minute and 20 of the first round. And Evander Holyfield looks chiseled, and he looks to be in good shape. But he throws a punch like a 58-year-old man would. It's slow. His jabs were very slow, and then when he tried to throw a combo, I think Vitor Belfort was just looking at it like, Or was that intended to be a punch, or what are you? And then Vitor finally was like, okay, well, so you're not the Evander Holyfield that I've watched. And Vitor just went in there and started throwing uppercuts, and Holyfield dropped his gloves, and And then you see Holyfield like, whoa, I'm in a fight. And he goes to throw a big left hand and misses, completely misses over Vitor's head and can't catch his balance and goes through the ropes and almost out of the ring onto the floor. He stumbles. Like if you were to kick out an old man's walker, you know, an old man would just kind of stumble be able to get his feet underneath him. That's what happened to Evander Holyfield.
That's sad.
Why would you do this?
That's just sad. How much money did he make on this? Because I know Evander's gotten into some financial issues in the past.
He really couldn't have made any money on this. Donald Trump called. Donald Trump was like the...
Yeah.
I didn't hear the call. I listened to the... I'm sitting there listening to the Spanish, watching the Spanish version of it, and sitting in bed last night because I wanted to see it. A man is like, "What are you watching?" I'm like Evander Holyfield. But anyway,
you mean Donald Trump Jr.?
Oh, was it Donald Trump Jr.?
No, it was the other one.
Oh,
it was the former president.
Okay,
I'm making a joke.
All right, but I can't believe that somebody actually...
And this was sanctioned and everything. This is...
It was a sanctioned fight, yeah. 8 rounds.
And it went less than one.
Yeah, it went probably a minute 20. It's quick.
I got to imagine if I'm reffing that thing, I'm like, okay, we're done here.
Listen, if you're feeling bad about yourself and your age, just go watch it. Evander Holyfield's he'll make you feel a little bit better. Sad. Sad way to come back, and that commission should be...
Well, and it's sad if this is what Evander's got to do to pay the bills now.
Yeah, that's true. Well, because it's not going to pay the bills anymore. Nobody's going to watch another one of his fights. It was embarrassing.
That's unfortunate, to say the least. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. All right, so after holding Green Bay hostage all offseason, after trying out for Jeopardy, after marrying some actress that nobody's ever heard of before from a bunch of movies that nobody likes.
Except for me.
Except for Hans. Here's your stat line from Aaron Rodgers. 15 of 28 passing, 133 yards, no touchdowns. And 2 interceptions. And the Green Bay Packers lost to the Saints 38-3. Wasn't even able to finish the game. Jordan Love came in with 10 minutes remaining in the game.
So he had a 36.8 passer rating when he left the game.
Just a heads up for all you non-stat guys out there, that's not good.
The other thing that was very evident, people might look at this and be like, well, shame on Aaron Rodgers' offensive line and the not providing any protection. Aaron Rodgers multiple times had nearly a 3 count in his incompletions. In fact, his 2 interceptions, go back and watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
His 2 interceptions, he had time.
Yep.
Way more time than Zach Wilson had.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is sabotaging the Green Bay Packers?
I think he's just done. I think he's done with football.
I just don't think there's a care factor anymore.
Looks completely disinterested.
Yep.
And if I'm Green Bay, I'm giving him one more shot. I'm like, so are we going to try to do this next week, or is this going to happen to us next week? If he looks like this again, I'm done with it. And I'm trying to figure it out. I know I stand to lose money, and I know that I stand to lose last year's MVP. And maybe he goes and then reengages, and it was a sabotage. But I can't live with this as a Green Bay front office because I can't allow him to do this to my fans.
One thing I really admire, especially about some of these small market teams like Green Bay, is the fans they're dialed into the team, not the player. And there was already some people grumbling about how he handled himself in the offseason. Now Green Bay Packer fans are like, nuh-uh. We don't care what you've done for us in the past. That kind of performance is unacceptable. And if that's the way you're going to play, then bring in the new guy. And if we're going to suck, let's at least suck with the guy that we're trying to prepare for the future with instead of this guy.
Yeah.
Because they turned on him, and they turned on him quickly. And deservedly so, because he put him through the ringer during the offseason. Didn't handle himself well. And if his care factor isn't there, then
done.
Time to go somewhere else.
I'm with you.
All right, there you go. Good, the Bad, the Ugly, brought to you by Zero Res. Coming up next, a little whole world news straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Cougars. And the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
After their emotional win against the Utes, BYU welcomes in another Pac-12 opponent as Arizona State rolls into Lavelle Edwards Stadium this Saturday. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 6 with a postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the post-game press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world.
Hans and Scotty, time for another edition of Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. By the way, Aaron Roderick was asked earlier today who he thought his offensive player of the game was. Guess who he went with?
Did he go James Empey?
He went James Empey.
I figured James had a heck of a game. I told you he graded extremely well.
Yeah.
That's my observation of grades. He was really good. They didn't press him real hard. They were trying to attack other areas, but the issue was James was in perfect position on every single play.
Yeah.
And he was walling off linebackers, and he was walling off defensive linemen, and just constantly putting his offense in a position to have big gains, multiple big gains.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. So excited to hear from Kalani a little bit later. Excited to hear from Kyle Whittingham, too.
Yep.
As we move forward through the show a little bit.
Yeah, you'll hear from Kalani coming up in 10 minutes from right now.
All right, Whole World News, Scotty, I just wanted to mention this to you. You know, all of us love to go and get a little bit of fast food, except for James with Tri-Day Trading, who's going to be coming on with us here in just a second, who always looks like he's in the peak condition,
I know, right?
Of his life. But, you know, you get those little packets of ketchup, or you get the little packets of Taco Bell sauce, and you put those on your fries or your burger, and then you toss them out the window. Or hopefully you aren't tossing them out. That'd be littering. Hopefully you're taking those little packets and putting it back in the bag or whatever. Guess how many of those used packets get put by weight. How many of those used packets get put in landfills in this country alone every year by weight?
By weight.
Uh-huh. The used ones, without the sauce in it.
Without the sauce in it.
Sauce squeezed out.
I don't know. A ton.
8 billion pounds of that plastic from those packets.
8 billion pounds.
A year.
It's a lot of hot sauce.
Of those packets. That's also a lot of fast food across the country. So Taco Bell and some other chains are trying to fix it. It's a company called TerraCycle that has come up with an idea to try to fix it.
How are you going to fix something like that?
So TerraCycle sends boxes out to any subscriber that wants to recycle these packets. Now, if you recycle these packets, you can make a little bit of money. You can get free shipping, but they send you a box. You fill that box with packets. You send it to TerraCycle. You can get all the free shipping off their website. So you don't have to pay anything. And they are now going to try to recycle those sauce packets.
How many pounds are in a ton?
2,000.
2,000?
2,000 pounds in a ton.
Wow.
And there are 8 billion pounds of those little packets thrown into landfills.
So that's 4,000 tons.
Oh, man, that's so much. That's so many of those packets. It makes me sick how much our country consumes fast food. But not you and I, not any longer.
Well, not right now, but
at least not for the next couple of days.
Give us a couple of weeks, because I am miserable.
I am too. You and I
don't think the show's, when you and I try to cut back, I don't think the show's as much fun.
It's not. We're just angry.
We're just angry at the world. That might be fun for some people, though.
So, James, how do you stay in a good mood? How is it that you stay as in good shape as you're in, but you stay? Or are you in a good mood? Are you always in a good mood?
No. Hardly ever. Hardly ever. Okay. When I look around and see what's going on, it's hard to be in a good mood.
Yeah. It is. You wake up and all of a sudden you look at one news article and you're like, that's why you got to stay tuned with sports. Sports keep you happy.
Yeah.
For the most part.
What's everybody upset about today? All right. Anyway, but let's talk about this can make people happy. Supplementing your income, replacing your income, putting yourself in a better financial situation. And you can get started with that 30-day trial here at Tri-Day Trading. I'm such huge fans of what you guys do down here.
Yeah. Well, like with, everything going on, all the uncertainty, I mean, really being in control of your own financial situation is, definitely something you want to look into. And the good thing about it is, whether it's going up or going down, doesn't really matter to us what
you
the market's
that.
Doing. Yeah. The volatility is great for us. So, we really just want to put people in a position where they understand the market and they can see how to generate their own income and not be, caught up in the ups and downs and the incompetency that we have going on right now in our government. So the trial is just to get people in, take a look. It's not going to be for everyone. Not everybody's going to be able to pull it off. They're not going to be able to find the time. But the trial at least gives you an opportunity to come see what if, is it possible for me to do this? Is it as complicated as, everybody would like you to think it is? And, once you've tried it a little bit, get a taste for it, then you can make some educated decisions on it.
If Alema's doing it, if I'm doing it, if Scotty's doing it, that tells you anybody out there in the right mind, they can trade. They can do this. It's currency. And you're trading currency on a daily basis. You're giving yourself 45 minutes, an hour and a half a day. You're setting your own clock. You're doing this in front of your own computer. It's possible for anybody out there. I actually want to take just a little bit of a sidestep because cryptocurrency has piqued everybody's interest. Are you now working in cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, absolutely. It's grown over the last, couple years. A lot of people are hearing about it, don't understand it, but they're hearing a lot about it. And we think it's going to be, probably the currency of the future, in a lot of different areas. So it's something, if you've heard about it, don't understand it, want to know how it works, I'd encourage you guys to come in and check it out a little bit. Most of these things you find when you get into the market, with financial markets, with crypto, it's designed to make you think that it is so complicated. And, only people with, super smart people can figure it out. And if you... if you wanted to understand all the ins and outs of all this stuff, it'd take a long time. But you only need to understand certain lanes to be able to make money. I don't need to understand every crypto and how it works and its benefit in order to be making money on it. Just like with the stock market, I don't need to understand, everything about it to be able to make money with it. And sometimes not knowing a lot about it is actually beneficial, Keeping it simple, know what you're looking for.
Watching the software.
Stay in your lane. Yep. Watching the indicators. And that's, that's the whole, secret sauce packets, as you will, is the indicators. We take out a lot of that, technical knowledge you would have to know in order to go out and be successful in a business like this. You learn the indicators. They're simple to understand, whether you should be buying or selling. And, like I say, it's not rocket science. It's just a commitment. It's just really about, if you want to get control of your financial future with all the uncertainty, even if it's not trading, you really got to start being responsible for your own future because, depending on the people driving the wheel right now, it's
better
just not
depend on yourself.
Bet on yourself, not somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
You want it's all about personal responsibility. You want to be responsible. You want to be sitting around blaming somebody down the road.
Yeah.
And so we just encourage that responsibility, and at least do yourself the favor of checking it out and see if it makes sense to you. See if it's something you could work.
By the way, I forgot to put a few extra zeros. It's 4 million tons of packets, not 4,000.
That's
what happens when you divide 8 million instead of 8 billion. You got to put those extra zeros on there. Twitter got after me pretty good.
It makes that much difference?
That makes a little bit of a difference. Three zeros can really change things up.
Twitter's getting after
Imagine have a few extra zeros in your bank account.
Yeah.
You can do that with Triday Trading. Go to TridayTrading.com. That's TridayTrading.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.